Hello and welcome to this UK Aid Match podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about recruiting and managing communications partners as part of your UK Aid Match appeal. In the first part of this episode, you'll hear from Sweet Child, and in the second part, we talk to Mary Smills. Hello, I'm Maria from the Social Change Agency, and today I'm here with Carol Flint, Head of Marketing at Street Child. Street Child is a charity that works in the world's toughest places to help some of the most vulnerable children have access to education. Their company in appeal aim to raise money to provide more children with access to education and the resources they need to learn. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a bit about your Count Me In appeal?
So we ran our appeal from late November 2018 to late February 2019. We launched it on day one with one of our media, well, actually they weren't an official media partner, but they became a very strong media partner for us, which was ITV's Good Morning Britain. So we had our patron, Sarah Duchess of York, and our founder and CEO, Tom Dannett, on the classic kind of setup with Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid interviewing the Duchess and Tom about the appeal, why we were doing it, the aims were, etc. So that was a really great kind of kickoff. Mm-hmm. We actually had the very next day, another really strong element was we were celebrating our 10th birthday as well, and we had a big event at Kensington Palace. Mm-hmm. Again, Duchess of York was there. We also had Princess Eugenie come. That was her first kind of public outing after her wedding, so it was a lot of attention.
Yeah, really exciting.
It was great. We had a media exclusive for that event with Hello Magazine, which was brilliant. They did a multi-page feature on that event. And also we had Dalton from The X Factor. So Dalton was the leading contender. He went on to win The X Factor a few weeks later. Wow. He came to sing at the event as part of their kind of, you know, what I did this week segment, met with the Duchess. And so we were on X Factor on the Saturday night. So yeah, the first 4 days of the campaign were pretty much a roller coaster ride
Really full of
on media. And obviously we carried on through the rest of the 3 months. So.
Yeah, so you ran a really successful campaign and you reached a broad audience, mainly thanks to your partnerships with traditional mainstream media. Just to name a few, you had the Evening Standard, the Sunday Mirror, Mail Online. So could you tell us a bit more about your approach in recruiting them? How did you do it in practice?
So I think in reality, the ones you've talked about who are kind of the official kind of some of our official media partners, we've actually worked with for many years. Mm-hmm. So that was our fourth UK Aid Match campaign. And I'm pretty sure I wasn't there at the beginning, but I'm pretty sure we worked with all of them on each of those campaigns. I think when you kind of look back at the history of Street Child, probably a thing that allowed us to have very strong media relationships with titles like that was we were very central to the Ebola response in West Africa back in 2014-15. And there was a lot of demand obviously for media coverage of that, and we built relationships and we've kept them kind of going, both through UK Aid Match campaigns where they're obviously really powerful, but in between times. So that was kind of one part of it. The other thing was that we had Sarah Duchess of York as an official media partner. So of course she's a patron and, you know, she supports our work, but she was very much committed to being a media partner herself. So she created media and her social mm-hmm. media, but obviously also putting herself forward to front the campaign. And she was very popular at that particular time because the wedding had just happened of Princess Eugenie and Jack Brooksbank. So she was very much in demand, hadn't done a lot of media for probably in the same way for some time. So the combination of having good relationships and then someone who was very newsworthy and happy to participate worked really well for us.
Yeah, thanks. And during the appeal, how did you support them? How did you manage the relationship?
So I guess kind of what we're always trying to do with that kind of partner is find a perspective of the message that we want to give, but in a way that is interesting to the partner. You know, obviously it's much easier if it's something that they're, you know, they want to talk about rather than they're just finding a small space because you've asked them to.
Absolutely.
we got very lucky that the Duchess was a way of achieving that. So, but there were different things that we used as the hook. So the event at Kensington Palace, so it was quite a glitzy event. That was very attractive. The Duchess also went to Sierra Leone, so right near the end of the campaign. So she travelled to Sierra Leone to talk about our work in rural schools. And again, ITV Good Morning covered that because, you know, they could create that into a news hook. We also had the Evening Standard travel on that trip as well. That's, I guess, one of the other things that we tried really carefully to do was to think about how we could take the same piece of content and put it across multiple media, but non-competing media. So on that trip, we had TV broadcast with ITV. We had a mainstream newspaper with Evening Standard. Hello didn't travel on the trip, but we did an interview during the trip for Hello. And then we did a follow-up with Grazia as well. So we had four pieces of coverage out of one piece of content. But obviously what we couldn't have done was send two newspapers on that trip because they'd have just been competing for the same, the same space. So yeah, trying to find an angle, trying to find a way of maxing out individual things. Yeah, I think those are the main things. Actually, one of the things that worked well for us as well, I said the Duchess herself was a media partner, so she was producing media. She was using her Instagram and her Twitter to share either her own perspectives on events or content that we gave to her. And it was one of the things we hadn't anticipated to happen, but that in itself became news. So there were publications writing about her writing about us, which is kind of absurd on one level. But because the message that we had given to her was the UK Aid Match message, the appeal message, that then translated into more coverage. So once we realised that worked, obviously we made sure that we made more of that happen. And the same actually with Princess Eugenie as well. That worked as well.
That's also a learning for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I guess kind of one of the other things around media partners is we had access to new partners. So they weren't official partners in the UK Aid Match kind of definition, but media publications who were interested to work with us because we had this content. So ITV Good Morning were one of those, Hello Magazine, I think there was another one as well, but they, because we worked well with them on that campaign, they agreed then to be official media partners on future campaigns. So that's in terms of the recruitment, that's kind of, we've, some of the relationships are very historic, but now we're kind of almost using it where, you know, we engage them and then kind of say, well, in return, this is what we need from you next time. So yeah, and our next appeal, we will have an even stronger base of partners.
Great. And what do you think these partners, these more traditional partners, offer that other less traditional comms partners usually don't or cannot offer?
I mean, I guess the really obvious thing is scale. Like the Mail Online, you know, it's 10 million opportunities to view straight off, so it's obviously immense. I think you get, you're in a context that is potentially quite different. So you know, in a news context, so it's kind of probably seen by some to be a bit more relevant, kind of seen as news rather than being perhaps a little bit worthy about the cause maybe. And also they, you know, these pieces, they hang around for a long time, obviously, online, and they get used. They create interest in their own right, kind of later down the line. You know, so each journalists are, you know, they're trying to make their life easy. Then, you know, it's a stressful business to be in these days, and they will look at what has been written before. So, even now, we will get references to, you know, Sarah Duchess of York, who supported Street Child's campaign called Count Me In, blah blah blah. That will be the intro to another kind of piece, and so. They create a longevity around that, and I think over time, that builds up as well.
Definitely. And what types of comms partners were most effective at garnering new donors during your campaign?
So I think where we saw an immediate instant response was on the TV appearances. So both on the day one. And the, near the end of the campaign, when the Duchess was on ITV Good Morning, she, you know, directly appealed for people to support the campaign. She gave out, you know, a money ask. On the first day, it was a £7.50 ask. On the last piece, I think it was a £15 ask. And immediately, you know, money came in against that request. So I think on the first morning, the first 2 hours, we had 170 donations come through our website straight off that piece of coverage. So that's one that was really, really obvious. The other area where we had some strong media was regional media in the east of England. So we're based in London, but our founder, his whole family are all based in Norwich. We have a really strong supporter base, kind of where effectively, you know, the organisation kind of was built from.
Mm-hmm.
We've been going 10 years there. So we have a strong base anyway, and we built on that a lot this year with some extra fundraising resource in Norfolk, who also helped then secure regional coverage. And one of the things we did, I'm sounding like a bit of a broken record, but it was an interview with the Duchess of York, but on BBC Look East, which was quite an in-depth piece. I mean, I think it was like an 8 to 10 minute piece. And we also had quite a lot of radio and press in Norfolk. And I can't tell you exactly which one of those drove the specific donations, but we had about £15,000 of money that we can track directly back to East of England, which, you know, it doesn't stack up in any other kind of region. So definitely we know that, you know, there's an underlying love for street art in East of England, but the media definitely kind of helped that as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other, it's not media per se, but the other thing for new donors that works really well for us is events. So we had two events called Craft Half. So it's a half marathon with half pints of craft beer when we're around. It's very fun. And we had 600 runners across two events who did that. Now, some of those were existing Street Child supporters, but I would say at least 500 of those were new to Street Child. Mm. So not media in the traditional sense, but great way of getting people involved.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks. And what was the biggest challenge during the appeal that you faced, and how did you overcome it?
I mean, initially, kind of pre-appeal, we went very, very early versus when the aid match started, and social change agents were just coming in. There were some staff change and DFID, so it was really, really quite tight on timing, and particularly because we had two big media events on day one and day two. So yeah, that was, you know, that was a challenge, but we got to it, and we got good coverage kind of out of that. I think the other thing was, obviously, as I said, we did use the Duchess a lot, and we had to really think about how we used that. So, you know, we couldn't give an interview with her to everyone who would have wanted it, just practically, and obviously just because it would have been too much. So one of the things that we did that worked really well was in a couple of the events that we had, we used a picture agency rather than a specific media house. So that meant she didn't have to give an interview. The coverage actually came from the press release, so it meant that the messaging was very, very direct. But we still had strong images, and we ended up with coverage probably in two or three different places. Maybe not as big as they might have been if it had been given as an exclusive, but we still got coverage despite actually no one having to really put themselves out. So that was a really good learning for us. We had to put less on to the Duchess in those kind of cases, so that worked well for us.
And how did running a UK Aid Match appeal affect your organisation?
Well, obviously, we raised money, so it was fantastic. We raised £1.4 million, which we doubled, so that obviously is a huge boost for an organisation of our size. We got a huge number of opportunities to view, around 150 million. So, of course, that works from a campaign level, but it's grown the awareness of Street Child, and, you know, we feel like there's a much bigger momentum kind of behind our brand, and, you know, more people definitely know us off the back of that campaign. And then I think, you know, kind of how does it work within the team, and kind of the impact on, you know, day to day as a team. And we're relatively small. So when this campaign and previous UK Aid Match, it really probably sucks up like 98% of our time.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of events, so there's a lot of out of hours working, so it's quite an intense kind of period. And I guess you could see that as being kind of a bit negative, but actually we could try and turn it into a positive and make it actually be a really good team building experience, and make sure that we create time for teams to have social events that aren't at all related. You know, it's not a UK Aid Match event dressed up as social. It is a time for, it's just for the team to kind of go and kick back and, you know, remember that we all like each other when we're really busy. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we handle it reasonably well. There was always the kind of deep breath of like, okay, this is going to be intense.
Yeah. So thank you, Carol.
No problem.
Thanks for sharing with us
your
learnings and your experiences.
No problem at all.
Hello, today I'm talking to Kim Webster, Communications Manager at Mary's Meals. Mary's Meals provides life-changing meals to some of the world's poorest children. The organization feeds more than 1.5 million children every school day across 5 continents in 18 countries. From the 3rd of December 2018 until the 1st March of 2019, Mary's Meals ran a UK Ed Match appeal called Double the Love. This appeal aimed to reach hungry children in Zambia with a meal every school day. Welcome, Kim, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
So, Double the Love was very successful for many different reasons. And one of these was the fact that you managed to secure support from a broad range of comms partners, which were not only media partners. For example, you recruited the Benetine Group, which is a chain of health clubs. Can you tell us a bit more about how you recruited them and what was your approach in doing this?
Yes, of course. So we carefully chose our communications partners to maximise the demographic and geographic spread of our campaign. For example, the Scottish Sun is the most read daily newspaper in Scotland by under 35s and families. Meanwhile, the Benetine Group also gave us a chance to reach audiences throughout the UK by highlighting the campaign in its health clubs and spas, online channels and staff communications.
And was that the first time that you worked with them?
So we had worked with some of our communication partners previously, so they were already warm to Mary's Meals and receptive to the UK Aid Match opportunity, as it would potentially allow us to reach many more impoverished children with daily meals in schools. As with the communication partners we had not worked with before, such as the Catholic Universe and Primary Times, through approaching key contacts at these publications and sharing the UK Aid Match opportunity, as well as highlighting the role that they could play in helping us transform many young lives, we were also successful in recruiting new partners too.
And how did you manage the relationship with them during the appeal?
We had 10 communication partners in total, and to ensure we worked closely with each of our partners throughout the appeal, individual members of our communications team were assigned to manage specific partners and oversee the relationship. Mm-hmm. So that involved keeping partners updated on key activity, timelines, sharing content they could use, as well as identifying story ideas and opportunities for them.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think these comms partners offer that other more traditional comms partners usually don't?
We actually felt it was important to have a strong mix of communication partners. So that ranged from traditional print media to the likes of the Benetine Group, Stagecoach and Clear Channel. We felt that was a really strong approach for our campaign because it allowed us to tap into different avenues and touch points where people could see, hear and read about Double the Love. So essentially this approach allowed us to extend our campaign across the UK, reaching people of all ages.
That's really important. And what types of comms partners were most effective at garnering new donors, do you think?
Sure. It's hard for us to highlight one particular type of communication partner that was most effective, as we felt that through the support of all our partners, we were able to share news of Double the Love far and wide. And it was that mix of communication partners that we had, which made us feel that for our campaign was a really successful approach.
Mm-hmm. And what was the biggest challenge during your appeal that you faced, and how did you overcome it?
We had a huge amount of activity running throughout our 3-month campaign, and with a small communications team, it was a challenge trying to juggle everything with our communication partners, mm-hmm. who were equally busy in the run-up to the Christmas period. However, by working closely with our partners and discussing timelines and deadlines as early as we could with them, we were able to plan well and coordinate our activity to ensure we maximised all the opportunities we had with our communication partners.
Mm-hmm. And how did running a UK at Match Appeal affect your organisation?
With match funding from the UK government and the incredible generosity of supporters, we have been given a wonderful opportunity to create an even bigger impact and transform the lives of many hungry children in Zambia with the gift of food and education.
Thank you, Kim. That was really helpful.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this UK at Match podcast. Don't forget that we have more resources on various topics on the UK at Match website, www.ukatmatch.org. And if there's any topic you'd like us to cover, please send us an email at ucam@thesocialchangeagency.org.